Hello, and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. My name is Doobie Mosley, and I'll be your host today. And with me today are my wife, Rebecca.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Fanboy.
Hello.
And we are here recording. Usually we record this show a day before Friday, which would be Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But today was a very exciting day with the What's New and What's Next presentation of Walt Disney World. So we wanted to hold off and record. We just returned from that, and it was a very exciting time. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. Before I do, I wanted to remind you that we love to hear from you here on the Laughing Place podcast. So please remember to email us, podcast@laughingplace.com. It's podcast@laughingplace.com. We have gotten some feedback, and we really do appreciate it. You can also leave us a voicemail with your opinions or any thoughts you have on the show or anything maybe we could play on the show. You can call us toll-free at area code 866-718-9408. That's 866-718-9408. But now back to the good stuff. As I just mentioned, earlier today, Rebecca and I were at the Walt Disney World media event over at the Contemporary Resort with all the exciting announcements for what's new and what's next at Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Lines, Adventures by Disney, and I think that's it. We were kind of expecting maybe some Disneyland announcements, and there were some Disneyland press releases today, but there were no Disneyland announcements today at that event. But let's start with what they did announce.
And today I'm very happy to talk to you about a new attraction we're developing that we think is really going to raise the bar. Why? Because we're taking the Toy Story characters that you know and love, and we're combining them with incredibly crazy video gaming to create what we call Toy Story Mania. Toy Story Mania is the next generation interactive ride through experience. If you like Buzz Lightyear at the Magic Kingdom, you are going to love Toy Story Mania.
And that was
Tom Fitzgerald.
That was the chief creative executive at Walt Disney Imagineering, Tom Fitzgerald, who gave a very animated presentation. It was quite entertaining to watch, talking about the new and exciting Toy Story Mania. Now, you were there, Rebecca. I know Fanboy over there has a little bit of insight into this attraction already. But for you and I, this was really our first chance to get a good look at it. There was quite a bit of concept art and quite a bit of detail on exactly what it was going to be. What were your impressions?
It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like the thing that most impressed me and caught my attention was when Tom Fitzgerald spoke about the way that the attraction can adapt to the player levels. So if you are there with mom, dad, kids, and even young kids, it'll gear itself towards you. If you start off right away nailing the targets, I'm presuming that that means that you're, you know, a better player, and it's going to adapt and become more difficult for you. Whereas if maybe you're not necessarily scoring top right away, then it's going to become a more simple.
Does this mean that I will have a chance, unlike Buzz Lightyear right now?
See, I think that's going to be an issue, though, because you shouldn't get, like, a handicap.
Yeah, you should.
You should have to, like, it should be, like, less points for you
if
Disney, you get a target.
Disney should be good for my self-esteem.
I think this is a moot point, because I don't think you'll go down that low. I mean, I've seen you do Buzz Lightyear, and it's
a pretty sad sight. It is really sad when you're in Buzz.
The thing that really excited me about this new attraction was the Mr. Potato Head living character animatronic that's gonna, it looked like it would be at the entrance, right?
It seemed to be. He said it was, he described it as the Barker.
Yeah, like
so
a modern
carnival, that would
like
be the Barker.
A modern day Tiki Barker bird, except this one is 6 feet tall, a fully animated animatronic, including the example he gives was being able to perhaps pull off his ear and say, "Can I lend you an ear?" And it's a living character, which means you will be able to interact with you with it, and he'll be able to talk to you as if it's another person and comment on what you're wearing or whatever. We've seen some examples of this at a Kim Possible test at Walt Disney World a few months ago, and it comes off really well. It's really impressive, and I'm actually looking forward to that a little more than the ride. What do you think over there, Fanboy?
Well, I think it's going to be neat to see this attraction because it's the first of a kind. I mean, you're going to have 3D glasses on. You're going to be facing – you're going to be two people backs to each other, so it's a total of four people in a sort of square-shaped car, and you're going to each be facing opposite sides. And going through a ride-through version of Where's the Fire, for those folks that have experienced it over at Interventions. So if you haven't had a chance to do it, I would highly suggest you go to Interventions in Florida and do Liberty Mutual's Where's the Fire attraction, because it's really sort of the prototype for this one, so you'll get an idea of what to expect.
Another thing that caught my attention about the ride itself, the interaction, is since it features several different carnival rides, carnival games.
Midway.
Yeah, he talked about, I prefer carnival to Midway, but I'm guessing, is Midway like a cleaner way of saying it? Is that why Disney goes with Midway?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they did it because it rhymed with Mania before they decided to change the name.
Oh, okay. I just thought maybe that was kind of what a cleaned up carnival was called, was like Midway. So it's like
a cleaned up carnival is called DCA.
Oh, that's harsh. Okay, but getting back to Toy Story Mania, it's going to feature several different types of carnival games. Ring toss, I guess like an egg toss concept, you know, in this three-dimensional world. And Tom said that you would notice the difference in the games as you were playing them, so that when you're interacting with the egg game, the feel of whatever it is you're working with is going to be different than when you're playing the ring toss portion of the game. And I'm envisioning like a Wii, like a Nintendo Wii thing, but I don't have any idea.
Do you have any idea, Fanboy, what the mechanism is? I mean, apparently it's not a gun. What is it?
I heard it was like a cannons type of apparatus, but I'm not quite sure how it's going to interface with all these games at all. So I don't know if it's a cannon that you're going to sort of shoot rings out of, or if it's a cannon that's sort of going to turn into a ring toss thing. I'm not quite sure. In the early press stuff, it did say cannon, but I don't know how that's
going
to be.
Okay, going with the cannon concept, so you could have a heavier recoil, per se, if it's the egg. Like, if you're shooting the egg out of your gun, it can bounce back, the cannon could maybe bounce back harder in your hand than if you're like just shooting a ring out of it. I'm thinking the difference between if I was playing with one of my marshmallow guns versus a Nerf gun.
Yeah, I remember you were playing with those last night.
A long time ago, but it's what I thought of.
Than 12 hours ago.
As part of today's announcement, they unveiled the first few images of Annie Leibovitz's campaign, I guess is how you would label it. It's what she has done is taken actors and she's featuring them in various Disney character type settings. And this was originally announced in October of last year.
Actually, it was announced at June at the announcement of the Year of a Million Dreams.
And so this was our first chance to see the images. And Annie was at the event today, and she talked about her special connection to Disney and her memories of family trips to the park.
When I was a small child, my parents took the family to Disneyland, and we drove from Alaska on the way to our new home in Texas. There were six kids in the back of our station wagon. The luggage, set of moose antlers on top of the car, it was one of the greatest trips of my life. I grew up with Disney. I was thrilled when Gordon Bowen asked that I work on the new campaign. Michael Mendenhall and his team gave me a lot of leeway. In fact, when I took a tour of Disney World with Carolyn, I think she's here somewhere, the people who escorted me around were told not to tell me anything to avoid, you know, any undue influence. And what really came back, what came flooding back, are those childhood memories.
Thank you, Annie. So, guys, what do we think of this one? Are we excited about? I mean, it's a marketing campaign, so it's not like we're saying we're excited about an attraction or something. But, for example, some of the magazines this is slated to appear on are Vogue and I believe GQ, Condé Nast, Cookie.
And if anyone's heard of Cookie, please email us at podcast@laughingplace.com and let us know what kind of magazine that is.
Because I've got one of my.
It's a mom's geared magazine. I understand. It's an urban mom's magazine. I looked it up online, and that was the impression, my initial impression from it was kind of
for urban moms.
Family fun, but like a little like a Nordstrom version of family fun.
We wouldn't want these pictures in family fun because I don't know, we own them and we wouldn't have to pay. But I don't get it. I know that there's a sort of celebrity culture that we try and do. I mean, we had Why We Love the Mouse, and every time we have an attraction, they put pictures up of different celebrities experiencing it. To me, it's not the biggest deal in the world. I don't understand why it was even part of this press conference if it's all about what's new and what's next, because they announced it a while ago. I mean, in its own context, back in New York, it made more sense. I think it's just a waste of money, but that's my own humble opinion.
How do you really feel, Fan?
I mean, to me, it cheapens us a little bit, I think, to focus on the marketing and focus on what we're doing to promote Disney versus what we're actually doing, because Disney's doing a lot of great stuff, and, you know, Toy Story Mania looks fantastic. Everybody loves Turtle Talk. The Nemo musical is great. Let's focus on that stuff. Let's not water it down with some overpriced pictures.
The pictures are beautiful, and you can see them, of course, on laughingplace.com. I'm definitely with Fanboy on this one, though. It's weird. What's weird, in addition to everything he said, is the market they seem to be going after with the Vanity Fair, the GQ, the Condé Nast, the Cookie, which really good magazine. It's not the market that I envision for Disney. Not that they shouldn't expand their markets, but you know, you can't have everything. And perhaps when you go after Vanity Fair, you lose a little bit Field and Stream. And I like Field and Stream, so. But we'll see how it works out. What do you think? You're shaking your head over there, Rebecca.
I don't agree with either one of you on this one, I have to say. I think it's a beautiful artistic representation of what this whole particular year is about. It's about their guests coming here, realizing their dreams, stepping into that fantasy world that Disney creates so beautifully, transforming for a short period of time, whether it's when you're on the Pirates of the Caribbean, you become a pirate, or you're walking through Cinderella Castle and you feel like royalty. And they've taken those types of moments and they're expressing them. Yes, they're using celebrities, and therefore they're able to have these images in magazines like Vanity Fair and Condé Nast and this type of thing. But I don't have quite the cynical take on it. The two
cynical?
Of you. Yeah, I think you are a bit cynical on this one.
I think you're being a little bit female on this one.
The images are just gorgeous. And they speak to you. I don't know. There's this, when you look at them,
they spoke to me.
When you look at them, you get that magic feeling that Disney brings to you. I mean, it's like you kind of start to relive moments when you look at them. Maybe it's a girl thing.
There's some other images that have come out for this promotion, Year of a Million Dreams, on postcards and the cover of the annual report.
Those feel like marketing images. See?
You could not be more wrong. The cover of the annual report with Woody leaning on one side in black and white, and then the little kid in color doing the mirror image. That makes me cry. Just thinking about it now almost makes me cry.
I don't disagree that they're beautiful moments, but they feel
market. That's what Disney is.
They feel market. It feels like this is a promotion. When I saw on this picture, this beautiful picture of Scarlett Johansson running from the castle in her flowing dress and her gorgeous tiara, and then in the bottom it says Disney Parks, it looked wrong that Disney Parks should be there. I should just know that this is Disney. I don't need them to tell me it's Disney. Whereas the image that you're describing, I expect a tagline. I was shocked that there was kind of a tagline on there.
I am shocked at what you're saying right now. I'm sorry.
Piece.
We're going to have to talk.
I think the other images are nicer because they take place in the parks with actual guests, not people who probably never wait in a line at FastPass or anything. There's no need to get elitist. Disney is wholesome and we should keep it that way. I don't understand this. I mean, I know Got Milk had success with those little milk mustache ads and everything, but just because it worked for them doesn't mean it works for us. And even if it works for us, doesn't mean it's something we should be doing.
Why don't we leave it at that? Move on to our next topic. What kind of surprised us today is not what they did announce, but what they didn't announce. They did talk about... I don't think there was anything else new here. They talked about the Disney cruise going to California. They talked about the Animal Kingdom Lodge Resort. The online concierge, they talked about something called online concierge, and you can read more about that on laughingplace.com. But in short, it's a way for kind of have a computer terminal in your hotel room, and you can do things like make room reservations and stuff like that.
Room reservations in the hotel room? I think you meant room service.
Yeah, that'd be a little late. Room service and things like that from your hotel room through a computer, and that's pretty cool.
And more importantly, it allows them to communicate with you regularly without being intrusive. They can send you email communications about various opportunities that they have available based on your party's preferences and your party's dynamics. Like if they know you're a family of four and you have a youngster and they have a reservation opening at Chef Mickey's, they can send you an email and let you know that's available. And it's up to you to decide whether or not you want to find out more about what's available or leave it alone. So it's less intrusive, but yet you can still know about the opportunities that are available.
Right, and I'm not trying to minimize that. I mean, that sounds great, and I love technology, and I love things like that, like Pal Mickey. They tried PDAs at one point. I'm all for that. I'm not at all trying to minimize that. But I believe that was the only thing I heard today that was new to me, and that was a little bit surprising. They did not announce anything whatsoever for California. They did not announce the Three Caballeros makeover for El Rio del Tiempo in Mexico, and that just was a little bit surprising, Fanboy.
And what else I found interesting is this event was held at the Contemporary Resort. So all the media was parking next to bulldozers at the old garden wing, thinking, hey, I wonder what's going on here. Maybe they're holding this event here to tell me what sort of interesting construction is happening here at the Contemporary Resort. And nothing about it.
And that was just surprising. We got the sense coming in that this was a Disney Parks media event, not a Walt Disney World media event. And that's not to say that they said that to us, but that was just the sense we got. They didn't have one in California. We knew that they did put out a press release this morning for the subs with Nemo and Friends. But there was no mention at all of that today. They put out a press release with Pirate's Lair, and there was no mention of all at all of that today. And that was just a little bit surprising. And maybe there's a backstory there we'll learn about someday, but that's not for today. What is for today is those two items, the official announcement of the opening of the Nemo subs and Pirate's Lair. And why don't you tell us about Pirate's Lair, fanboy?
Well, it's the long-rumored enhancement of Tom Sawyer Island. It's still Tom Sawyer Island. It's Pirate's Lair at Tom Sawyer Island. So Injun Joe's caves and all that will be enhanced. There'll be some additional pirate stuff on the bridges and things like that. It sounds more like an overlay, perhaps a permanent overlay, but an overlay nonetheless, than a complete redo of the entire island. So in terms of nomenclature, you can still call it the rafts to Tom Sawyer Island and such, but it sounds, you know, this thing got a lot of buzz when it first leaked on the internet, but in the end, it sounds just like a nice little enhancement, similar to, I think, what they did when they redid Redwood Creek Challenge Trail to add the Brother Bear folks.
Spirit. I know you grew up, Rebecca, going to Disneyland very regularly. I can only imagine Tom Sawyer Island was one of your regular stops. What do you think of something like this?
Well, over the years, Tom Sawyer Island has suffered a bit from, I don't know, I guess you would call them maintenance issues and that type of thing, bridges not being open regularly. And I guess over the past few years, I guess that's changed. I haven't been in quite a while, so I can't speak to the current, but I can remember in the late 90s that it wasn't quite the playground that it had been. And I can only presume some of that also is due to just safety issues because, you know, it's different nowadays. Your kid gets your finger caught in the gun in the fort and you end up with a lawsuit, right? Isn't that what happened?
That is exactly what happened.
So yeah, but my question regarding the Pirate's Lair thing, though, are we talking Pirate's Lair as in Johnny Depp kind of pirates, or are we talking like river pirate, like the guys you encounter as you're on the Mississippi?
My understanding is that it's not as tied to the movie as the enhancements to Pirates of the Caribbean, the attraction, were, but you might see some references to Davy Jones and such, but it's more of a timeless pirate. Not necessarily. I don't know if it's a Caribbean pirate or a river pirate because I'm not a pirate expert.
Okay.
But
Captain John? Oh, yeah. Not this week.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No. Oh, I forgot to mention that. No, he's not here this week.
No, and we miss him, especially right about now. But it sounds like what you're saying is a salute to the pirates that always was, but never will.
Yeah, you're right. Pirates were and never will be. Or, I don't know.
Always,
you're good at paraphrasing,
Michael
Eisner.
Always was and never will be. Yeah.
Montana.
The Montana future, which I'm guessing Walt Disney World is looking at right now.
And the funny thing about the lack of truly fresh announcements is that right now the internet and the Disney fan base is burning because of that annual report with the artwork and everything. So the rumors are flying, the speculation is everywhere, and so you think they'd take the opportunity to fuel the fire. So, you know, I'm really curious to know what led to the lack of spicing things up a bit out here.
And I agree. I know that this was supposed, just like acquiring Pixar and the sort of restructuring of the studios was sort of Dick Cook's and Bob Iger's way of creating an identity for the studios in this new era. My understanding was that this week was supposed to be that for parks, that this was going to show us the future of the parks, whether it be Adventures by Disney, Cruise Line, all that stuff put together. And so everyone thought that this was sort of building up, the whole media event this week was building up to today's presentation, and you just sort of felt like it was just another rehash.
Okay, well, there I have to say that I do feel like I have a very strong sense of what the future is for Disney theme parks and stuff. I wonder if maybe that's why there weren't quite as many new attraction announcements, was because they wanted to make sure that the message got out and the word got out about what it is that, that they're focusing on, and that is this personalization. CRM, is that what?
Yeah, CRM, they call it customer relations management, but Disney likes to call it creating relationship magic.
Yeah, creating relationship magic. It's this, it's the interactive nature that lets you plan your vacation at Disney.com, and now when you go to this, to a hotel that has the online concierge, that same information that you collected at home is now available on that kiosk and in your hotel room, and you can make adaptations to it right there and be able to print it out at the front desk, or, you know, the different types of things that they're trying with this Adventures by Disney, where it's a, you know, an adventure outside of the Disney theme parks, but it brings a story. You're not just taking, it's not just a bus tour to Costa Rica. It's an adventure to Costa Rica with a Disney story. I haven't taken one yet, but in my understanding of it and the way that the write-ups are is that they kind of, it's becomes a full adventure. There's like a kind of a story that is woven throughout your experience. And I think that that's what Disney was really trying to focus and make sure people understood today, was that it's not simply a place that you plunk down your money, you walk in, you wait in line, you have fun on that attraction, then you get out of that attraction, you go to the next attraction, wait in another line. I think they're trying to make you feel like it's a resort. There's things to do. We cater to you. We want you to have fun. You're important.
But to me, customization started, that whole initiative started at the Denver shareholder meeting several years back when Michael Eisner talked about Destination Disney and CRM, and Destination Disney really isn't there anymore. And we did Magic Your Way, which was an attempt to say you could customize your ticket. Customization is not new. I mean, we're doing new things with it, but the initiative is not new. In fact, I'm at the point where it's no longer an initiative. It's not just part of the way Disney Parks does their business, and so it's not as exciting. I mean, we've had Pal Mickey. We had those interactive pins. You know, doing it to another level is just doing it to another level. It's not new. Should it be ignored? No, but it's not. It's nothing to have build a press event around.
Apparently it is.
Well, and once again, I think there might be a backstory, but, you know, I don't know.
The other announcement from Disneyland today was the official opening date for...
The other news to come out of California today was the official opening date of the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage attraction. They announced that it will open on June 11th, 2007, and... So we'll kick off the summer season and will really be the landmark attraction at Disneyland this year. And as I know that I've heard a lot of rumors that it was having challenges, so it's great to see that they really feel that they can meet this June 11th deadline, and I can't wait to go on it.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, and it does sound like a really exciting ride. I'm looking forward to doing that one myself.
I just want to go on it because I want to see Mount Wanahakalugi, just because I like to say Mount Wanahakalugi. In fact, I was at Epcot when they were setting up the Seas of Nemo and Friends opening event, and there were more guests getting their picture taken in front of Mount Wanahakalugi than anything else that is normally there. So I think we're missing the brand appeal of Mount Wanahakalugi.
Do you think you can work it into a sentence again?
Yes.
This reminds me of the conversation that the creators of Kim Possible had at the NFFC where they were talking about the creation of Rufus, the naked mole rat. They said it was just so much fun to say naked mole rat. So it's just, and they must have said naked mole rat like 27 times while they were telling us how nice it was to have a character that gave them the liberty to say naked mole rat.
Let me try this. Wanahakalugi, naked mole rat. Yeah, Wanahakalugi, that's a lot of fun.
Although I'm a big fan of the Naked Mole Rat. In fact, I made it a mission of mine to learn the Naked Mole Rap.
Let's hear a couple lines.
Yo, listen up, have it from Ron. Naked Mole Rat is the name of the song. Here's a story, in all its glory, ain't had enough, don't know what the truth is. How Ron met Rufus, never heard a cat bark, never heard a puppy purr. Mad dad's allergic to every kind of fur. So
right, enough,
stop right there.
Enough.
Okay, that was awesome. Wow, we definitely need to work fanboy rap in the future episodes of the podcast.
No.
Corbin Blue and I are going to have a duet.
You guys are missing the boat with that as well. We do not need to work more fanboy rap into this.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
FBI?
See, these are the people who told you that the Annie Leibovitz thing. See, this is who you want to go with?
I thought we moved on.
No, I'm not letting it go.
Okay. Well, if you've watched any of the media coverage coming out of this week's events, I think one thing has dominated what the media is interested in, and certainly dominated the word on the street. I mean, whenever I talk to anyone about what's going on at Disney, they pretty much always talk about, you can stay in Cinderella Castle? Well, actually, they usually say Cinderella's Castle, but we Disney fans know it's Cinderella Castle. And one of us at this table actually got to visit that just a couple hours ago. Rebecca.
Yay, me.
Princess Rebecca, tell us all about your castle.
First, I'll say that I wasn't all that excited about this particular assignment. In fact, I was dreading it. I know that the location is small, and so I was kind of afraid of being there. And then the weight of being the only representative of Laughing Place that would have the opportunity to go to this castle suite, and knowing that it's probably the only time I'm ever going to darken the door of the castle suite, I was a little bit intimidated. But the way that they've set up this experience, they really take their guests into account. When you first enter the special door there at the castle, there's a greeting area, and that's where your concierge for the night will be. Because once you're in the castle and the park is closed, you're in the castle. So if there's anything you need outside the castle, somebody else has to take care of that for you. You're not permitted to depart from the location after the park is closed. Your host will be downstairs 24, you know, throughout the evening if you need anything. And they said that they found that because once you win this award, that this moment of entering Cinderella Castle was proving to be a bit overwhelming. And so this provided their guests kind of a transition from the magic that is the Magic Kingdom to the magic that is this royal suite.
Like Magic Squared.
I know, it's amazing. And off to the right are these beautiful golden doors that have scroll work on them. And it kind of reminded me of the Cinderella's coach. And then when the doors opened and you entered, the floor of the elevator was a mosaic tile with Cinderella's crest in the center. And I learned later that many of those, I think it was there. Well, I know that there's so much. The mosaic work. I know there were quite a few white gold mosaics used and quite a few 24 karat mosaics used. Once we went upstairs and the doors opened, we entered to the first area, which was like a lobby for lack of my, I don't have architectural.
Like a foyer?
Yeah, foyer, that's the word. Although foyer, where I came from.
That's even more fun to say than one hakalugi.
Yeah, okay. But in this room, you encountered concept art of the original film done by Mary Blair. It was Cinderella in her wardrobe and whatnot. If you have any of the classic children's storybooks of Cinderella that Disney's done featuring Mary Blair's work, it's those images. So immediately, it's that warm feel. I don't know. For me, it was that warm feeling. I'm such a Cinderella fan, so this was an amazing moment for me. And there's a beautiful mosaic on the floor and a lovely chandelier on the ceiling. And directly in front of you is the entrance to the bedchamber. And to the right is where they have a display of a beautiful tiara, a scepter, gold slipper, and several glass pumpkins to remind you of that magical night when Cinderella went to the castle. I know. You get teared up just thinking about it.
But what happened after Happily Ever After?
Continue, Rebecca.
So I think I mentioned, but I'm not sure. When you the first steps out of the elevator are onto a beautiful mosaic of the coach. In talking to the Imagineers who set to work on this particular project, the elevator, what they wanted to do and bring to their guests was that feeling of the carriage ride that Cinderella would have taken to the castle. And so in that, I have to say that I really thought that as I was there with the doors open and you see that it's like you're in the carriage and then now you've seen that the carriage has arrived and then you step into the bedchamber.
What was your, if you could pick one particular part of the suite that was your favorite, what would you say?
I think everybody's favorite is this beautiful deep tub. And it has these three gorgeous mosaic panels, I think featuring castle scenes, but above them is a fiber optic, because that's what it reminds me of. Like twinkling sky. So it's almost like you're sitting in a beautiful tub out under the crystal blue sky with the stars twinkling. One of the magic things I was happy to learn that not only, while it reflects the 17th century architecture and that royal and historical, it has that feeling of being steeped in a rich history, it's state of the art. So there's this beautiful picture of Cinderella, and it's the first time that Disney's represented Cinderella in a reality version as opposed to her normal caricature. It's like as if somebody took a photograph of Cinderella, and it's there above the...
Does it look like Scarlett Johansson?
No, it didn't.
Brandy Norwood.
It was there above the fireplace, and when you pushed your remote control, suddenly Tinkerbell would flitter her pixie dust all around the screen, and that's your television. And so then your television is now there. And beneath that was the fireplace, and within the fireplace they've created like this little fireworks element, so that as you're sitting there looking at the fireplace, you periodically would have like this little fireworks show in the fireplace.
Now, you want to say something, Cowboy?
I just didn't know Tinkerbell was in Cinderella.
She's magical.
I'm not a Cinderella fan. I apologize. I knew she flies down from the castle every night, so I guess I just
you got
it.
To talk to some of the Imagineers afterwards.
Yes, I did.
Right now, I had heard a rumor that at midnight it changes into a Motel 6. Is that true?
I can neither confirm nor... No, I have not heard such a thing. I did, however, learn that one of the ways that they tell this story, which I can't believe I forgot to mention at the beginning, is that when you first enter the very first location before you get on the elevator, the grandfather clock is set to 1 minute before midnight.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it's little things like... I mean, I was so... For me, this location, this Cinderella suite, is an example of why Disney Imagineering is the best. It's this week throughout the media events, we were able to take a tour. They called it Guestology, and in it we learned kind of the little things behind Disney that make Disney different and Disney special. And for me, this location, the Cinderella Castle Suite, is the perfect example of that. Because I've been in a lot of nice hotel rooms, and it's a nice hotel room, but it's that story, it's that attention to detail that they bring to it that just makes it beyond. It's more than just a place to stay.
I think I got the same feeling in visiting Encounter at LAX, another WDI-created location, though not quite of the caliber of the Cinderella Suite. It sounds really beautiful. Fanboy, one more thing to say?
Here it's lovely, and I would think it's great that we have it, and I just wish that you would have some pumpkin pie, because you just keep waiting for that clock to change to midnight so you could have some pumpkin pie, and I got hungry.
Do not call 407-W-Disney to book it. You can only stay at the Cinderella Suite by being a dream winner.
Oh, and I thought that was the folks that won it,
yes,
won it at Star Tours at 9:40 in the morning,
yep.
And you're saying, gee, why are these people going on Star Tours at 9:40 in the morning, because there's no line at 9:40 in the morning? Well, apparently they already had won Dream Fast Passes. So they're really giving away. In fact, they made an announcement. They're giving away 1,500,000 dreams this year.
And that's two down, 1,499,998 to go?
Yeah.
Oh, about that family that got to stay, the first Dream family. There was a family that won through the Good Morning America contest. But last night, the family that was picked by the Dream Squad got to stay there. And for the media, they transformed this family from their regular day clothes into royal sleeping gear as part of the big media celebration.
Which you can see on lastingplace.com.
And I was just trying to envision. I mean, I'm sure for the little girl, this whole scenario is just amazing. You know, she got to ride in Cinderella's coach. She's going to be staying in Cinderella Castle. But I think her brother, they said he's 16 or he's right in his teens. And I'm trying to figure out, how on earth do you convince the boy to go along with you on this? He had to stand up there in front of national media.
And his friends back home.
In pajamas.
Pumpkin pie.
I was thinking, wow.
But it must have been such a magical moment for that. I can only imagine you come to Disney World, and the next thing you know, you are the center of the media universe for 15 minutes. It's amazing. It's a Disney dream come true.
They didn't have a bad day.
Mm-mm.
And she's referring to the entertainment that night, which was by
Daniel Powder, who is famous now for the Bad Day song that American Idol rejects here when they're leaving the stage, and he's recently written a new song for the Disney Million Years, Million Dreams celebration.
So what are you trying to say? It makes it sound like, I'm going to avoid controversy here, but...
It was pretty strange to have that as the opening song of the media event, but it actually worked quite nice, and his two performances were very nice.
He was delightful. I mean, you got the sense that he really... felt accomplished to be there and honored to be there. He talked about how he'd kind of taken some wrong turns in his life, and he was just so amazed to be sitting there on beautiful grand piano, castle lit, stunning behind him, in front of a sea of media. You just, I mean, if you've grown up in America, that just, you can't help but just know that that's a moment when you're featured as Disney Entertainment. That's a moment.
A moment like this.
Back to American Idol.
The media events began on Wednesday with the official opening of Finding Nemo the Musical and the rededication of the Seas with Nemo and Friends. So let's play a clip from both of those. First, you'll hear from Jay Rizzullo, the head of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, introducing Finding Nemo the Musical. And then you'll hear from the president of Disney World, Meg Crofton, rededicating the Seas with Nemo and Friends.
This dream team includes some of the finest theatrical talent working anywhere. Beginning with two of them.
And has been transformed into the Seas with Nemo and Friends. Inspired by Disney's Pixar feature film, Finding Nemo, we've added new attractions and experiences that appeal to all ages. The visually stunning Seas with Nemo and Friends ride, Turtle Talk with Crush, Bruce's Shark World, and more. This new pavilion mixes dazzling technology and innovation with marine life and conservation elements, all designed to entertain, inform, and enlighten.
And lastly, before we close this show, let's look back at the major announcement from the first part of this week, which was the Disney the Oscar nominations, but the ones we care about are the Disney Oscar nominations. So, Fanboy, why don't you clue us in?
Well, the Walt Disney Company got 20 nominations, including 2 for Cars for Best Animated Feature and Achievement in Musical Writing for Motion Picture for Our Town, original song. Lifted, the Pixar animated short, was nominated for Animated Short Film. So was The Little Match Girl, done by Feature Animation. Don Hahn, who's currently on sabbatical, worked on that. Pirates, Dead Man's Chest, got art direction, sound editing, sound mixing, visual effects. Miramax got 7 nominations, including Best Picture for The Queen. And Venus got a nomination for Best Actor in a Leading Role for Peter O'Toole, which I guess is just Disney's way of maintaining a role in the planet universe now that Pluto is no longer a planet.
Venus. The reference is Venus. That's where the gag went. Doobie, you had a blank look.
You think I don't get that?
Uh-huh. No, you had a blank look on
me. You're absolutely right. You know why? Because I'm tired. Because it's been 3 days of media events. Yep. And with that, we are going to close this slightly shortened podcast. I hope you understand. Once again, we would so love to hear from you. Please write us, podcast@laughingplace.com.
Yep, podcast@laughingplace.com.
Is it still podcast@laughingplace.com?
I believe so.
Yep.
You can also call us toll-free at area code 866-718-9408. That's 866-718-9408. Also want to remind you that we will not have a show next week. It's a planned non-show. It's not us slacking. It's a planned non-show. We will be back on February 9th, though, with our normal podcast.
Lots of exciting stuff to talk about, like Cinderella 3 and others.
Okay, well, I know what you wanted to say. Anything else you wanted to say, Rebecca, before we sign off?
No, I'm good.
Okay, well, we hope you enjoyed this abbreviated but exciting breaking news Laughing Place podcast. We will talk to you again in 2 weeks, and until then, the balcony is closed.
Have fun, you guys.